This morning, we want to spend some time talking about our new home and what it means for us as a church. Now, if you're a visitor this morning, or if you've simply been asleep for the last month, and that was a great answer to prayer of a couple of weeks ago, and you've just been sleeping constantly, I don't know, you might not know that Liberty Church has been given conditional planning permission for to transform the old Dunfermline Press building in its glorious custard mustard yellow color in Petrievi Business Park on the south side of Dunfermline into our very own Liberty Center, a home for the church and a center of outreach into our community. I'm going to walk over this way and pick up. Can I click it? Thank you, Matthew. And this morning, Stan and I want to take some time to tell the story of where we have come from as a church. Some people will be familiar. I'm always amazed at things that I don't know, even though I've been in the church for now for 16, 17, 18 years, and goodness me. And there's still stories that we don't know, and still things that we're picking up. But I want to tell you a little bit of a story of where we've come from as a church, where we are now, where we are going to, and how this story impacts your story, my story, and the story of this city and this community. Story is important. We love story. I don't know about you, but I love story. I love storybooks. I love reading novels. When you're in primary school, story time was a great thing to do. I used to love Jack and Nori. Anybody remember Jack and Nori? Of course you remember Jack and Nori. I used to love stories. Stories are really important to us. If you're listening to someone and they start to tell a story, our ears pick up. Don't think, I want to hear a story. And when we look at the Bible is full of story, Old Testament and New Testament. It's full of story. It's full of story of God's people, some of its great stories, some of its more challenging story. But it's story about God's people and God walking with them. And building is a key part of the story of God's people. So we've got stories in the Bible about Noah building the ark. We've got the people in the desert, Moses leading the people through the desert, and they've got the building of the tent, the tabernacle. The tent of meeting where the people met with God. We've got the building of the temple. Solomon built the temple. And we've also got the building of the city of Jerusalem. We've got the rebuilding of the walls, which Stan has been telling us about in the book of Nehemiah. And we've got the new Jerusalem to look forward to. And from one end of the Bible to the other, we've got a story. And building is so much a part of that. And if you look in the Bible, there is a lot of detail. You think maybe there's too much detail. I don't need to know all that. But God is a God of detail. So we've got materials. God says, here's the materials to build with. Here's the dimensions. Here's the colors. Here's the people to build and rebuild with. And buildings are more than just stone, bricks, steel, and plaster. Buildings tell a story in themselves. You look at buildings, you visit buildings, stately homes or whatever, they tell a story. What kind of people built them? What were their values? Why were they built? Buildings paint a picture of the people who built them. And our home, our new home, will paint a picture of who we are, where we have come from, where we are going, and above all, the God who has made it possible for us. So let me spend a little bit of time this morning just starting off and saying, where have we come from to get to this point? Let me give you a bit of history, a little bit of history. The vision for Liberty Church was birthed in the heart of Tom Ralla. Many of you will know Tom. Tom's been here and he's preached. Tom is now the pastor of King's Fellowship in Inverness. And back in 1974, who was alive in 1974? I don't know, who wasn't alive in 1974? All this says. One or two over here. Okay, back in 1974, I was still at primary school, there we go, when Tom, who was living in Dunfermline, he's American, and he's looking out from a window in Dunfermline in a flat, looking out over the nightlife of Dunfermline. They had nightlife back in 1974 as well. No street pastors, they had nightlife. And he was burdened to see a church in Dunfermline. A church that would be full of life and a church that would reach out to this community. 1974. Now, Liberty Church wasn't actually formed, it actually became Dunfermline Christian Fellowship in 1979, 5 years later. And it's grown over the last 37 years to the church we see today, but still keeping at its heart a burden for the people of Dunfermline and beyond. And over the years, Liberty Church has met in a number of different places. It started in a flat above Stevens the Baker's in Pillmuir Street. And quickly outgrew that and moved into the YMCA building in Bridge Street. And in 1981, just 2 years after Liberty Church was formed, it was called Dunfermline Christian Fellowship at the time, purchased its first home in the old Masonic Lodge in Priory Lane in Dunfermline, near Andrew Carnegie's birthplace. And that became the home for the next 16 years. 16 years. Just an interesting story in terms of that. When I think Jim tells a story, Jim Pollock tells a story, when the church bought that building, bought it with a loan, a mortgage, it was a 20-year mortgage, paid off in 2 years, Jim, was that right? 18 months to pay off our loan that was there for a 20-year loan. So our God is a God who provides. Now, in 1997, 16 years later, 1997, the church, which was outgrowing that building, sold it to the Link Church, who still own it today, continue still to use it in the afternoon, moved the services to the afternoon until they could find other accommodation. And it was at that point that Fiona and I came around Liberty Church. Our first sort of meeting was actually in an afternoon in Priory Lane coming into Liberty Church. And it was in 1998 then that the church actually moved into temporary accommodation in Pitcorthy Primary School, which is now a heap of rubble on Aberdare Road, has now been flattened. We thought we'd be there for a short time. We were there for slightly longer than we expected. In 2004, we purchased land on Aberdare Road with the hope of building our home there. We still have that land, though we are praying that in a few weeks' time we will not have that land anymore. Much work was done on the land, plans were drawn and approved, but the cost of building just proved too much. The land was reviewed again in 2009. We looked at it again, could we build something more modest? But cost was still prohibitive. And today the land is on the verge of being sold for a company who want to put housing on it. And we are just praying that that would go through as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, the church continued to meet in Port Pitcorthy until 2011, when we moved to Queen Anne, when we came here. Now, this is a great facility for us, for Sundays, but not providing anything for us during the week, of course. We just meet here on Sundays. We also rent Dixon House Centre in Elgin Street, which is a useful facility for many of our events, also home to Dunfermline Food Bank, but it has limited use during the week because the parking's atrocious during the day. We tried a few things, and it just didn't work for us. The truth is we need a home. We need an home. So for the past 6 or 7 years, we've been looking for a building we could transform. We've looked at industrial units in Dalgetty Bay. We've looked at the old fire station in Dunfermline, which is a much better arts and centre and cafe than it would ever be for a church. And we looked at St. Margaret's Works in Pillmuir Street, Velocity Nightclub, and various other industrial premises. None of the buildings we looked at was the right one for us, but each one taught us something about who we are, what we are called to, on what spaces and facilities we need. Each one was part of our preparation. Our story led us to the old Dunfermline Press Building in 2014. It took a little time for the vision of that building to sink in. I've talked about that in the past. It took a little while thinking, God, is this it? This yellow building, could we use this? But that vision has now truly sunk in, and it is still growing. And our very own Gregor Wiley bought the building early in 2015. Just last year, believing God was calling him to do so, and it was agreed that pending planning permission being granted, Liberty Church would take over around half of this massive building, first of all renting with the aim that we purchase outright in the next few years. Now, it's taken a long time to obtain planning permission, and last July, as a step of faith and financial wisdom, we moved our offices into the warmth of our new building. It's freezing. Even in summer, it's cold. Trusting that permission would soon be granted, but it was only 4 weeks ago, 2016, that we finally obtained conditional planning permission to turn this building into our very own Liberty Center. And it seems that a long chapter in our story has come to a close. But a whole new exciting chapter is beginning. This is a real page turner, and it's not time to put the book down yet. I'm going to hand over to Stan.
Right. So, every presentation needs balloons, massive balloons. And these are my massive balloons. We watched that little video, and I said you should pay attention as well. Because what we saw there was a chain reaction, didn't we? Energy was started. I love the fact there was no indication of how the energy starts. But it just, you see the cog rolling down. And energy is transferred time and time away in different ways. Sound energy, touch energy, the wind blowing it, all sorts of different types of energy that move things on. Now, similarly, we have a chain reaction to get from where we are now to getting a fully built functional building. The good news is that we don't have like 60 parts in that process. We have four main parts of that process. And here are your four main parts. And I want to tell you in this section a little bit of how we get from here to a fully formed building. So, as John spoke about, the first thing was planning permission. It was an industrial building. You have to change it to a community use building. Now, we've been hurrahing about this and being excited about it. It seems like a small thing because nothing's changed. No bricks have changed. The paint hasn't changed. Though it has, actually, because we painted the offices. So we did paint something, and the lawn is now mowed as well. But this was a really crucial step because this was out with our control. We applied for it, but other people made the decision. So it's massive. It was really important. The rest of the steps are in our control. But planning permission, the first ball, was out with our control, complete control, and now that's been met. As John says, we're waiting for the exact conditions. It's to relate to our parking requirements that we need to have for the building. That's coming in a letter in the next week or so, we're told by the council. So, at this point, the planning permission ball smashes into the next ball. And this ball here is building warrant. Now, building warrant's basically a technical process where you have to get permission from the council again to build the details of your build. Now, it's different from planning permission. This is just a technical process. What you do is you send in detailed plans. I used to actually work for the planning department, so I saw these plans. Detailed plans of your building. And this is where the plugs go. This is where the fire exits go. This is where the doors go, the windows go. And it's a technical and discursive process, so it's back and forth. So you submit plans, and then the person in charge of building warrant goes, oh, actually, you know, those doors need to be slightly apart, or actually, you need another fire exit. It's not a yes or no like planning. It's like, just change the plans until you get it right. It's about legal requirement. So that's the building warrant stage. So at the moment, our architect is putting together detailed plans with all this level of information. Now, we've been working with the plans, and you would have seen them, hopefully, over the last year. And we have had lots of comments and thoughts, and we've held them all, stacked them all up. And just recently, Barry, the chair of our action team, which had been guiding through the process, handed the stack of papers to the architect and said, here you go. There's a little gift for you. And so he is working at the moment, and within the next few days, in the next week or so, he's going to resubmit to us a plan with all this level of detail. It will be checked by the leadership of the church, checked to see that it fits our requirements. And then if we're happy with it, we might say, can you amend this? Can you change that? There'll be some sort of process. He will finally come out in the next few weeks with a final plan that we can then submit to the council for building warrant. So the building warrant smashes into the next one. And this is the tendering process. Now, if you own a house or if you ever got work done, it's sensible not just to pick up the phone book. No, not pick up the phone book. No one picks any phone books. They still get delivered, though. It's some sort of like, you just sit there and you go, why have you sent me that? I have no idea. What is the point? Anyway, yes. I had a friend who worked for Yale and worked there for about 6 months and thought, why am I here? This company is dying on its feet. There is no future. He works for Visa Card now. So anyway, if you own something or you have some work done, you should go and get some quotes. Don't just go on the internet and just choose the first one or the nice colored picture. You go and find out who can do the work and how much it's going to cost. And you find out from those builders what the quality is. So we need to, once you've got the final plans, because if you go to build at the moment, they say, can you build for us? And they say, well, what do you want built? You know. So we have the final plans, and we can go to builders, and we can ask them for quotes to do the work. So then we get all those in, and we decide who we're going to work with. And then we commission them to start the work. So they smash into the construction phase. So this is the construction phase. And principally, it will be professionals doing the construction because they know what they're doing, they have insurance and they have health and safety policies. But that is not exclusive to us doing something as well. There may well be some sections of the work that we can get involved with practically that we can use our own time and energy for. There's obvious things like painting. You know, you don't necessarily, unless the painting's on top of a roof, like on top of a ceiling, you know, a big wall. Am I doing something wrong? No, we're okay. We could do some painting in some rooms. It may even be that we are, at the moment, we've got offices in the plan that you're going to see that we're going to be showing you later, where we want to move to. And at the moment, we're asking professional advice to see whether we could just take that part of the project on. Like, after the summer, it may be possible that we could shift our offices, which can't be our long-term office position, into this new office block, and we might be able to do the work because it's on a smaller scale. So there may be some level of involvement. We can get involved in a practical way in construction. Now, the wise amongst you will be asking the question, what about the money? So we have the money balloon, or the money ball, if you like. So in the midst of all this is money. And there's a very simple, I'm going to put it there, it doesn't actually make order. Money's going to be across the entire, it's a very long balloon. It's a very simple rule with regards to money and construction. It's not complicated, and I bet you guessed already. You cannot build what you do not have money in the bank to pay for. It's as simple as that, right? So I actually was, you could have the construction balloon bigger or smaller. The amount of money that we have in the bank is directly proportional to how big the construction balloon is. So if we have all the money, then the balloon's done. If we don't have any money, we have a small amount of money, we go with what we've got. I'll explain that process. At the moment, with the plans, we went to a QS, which is a quantity surveyor. It's a professional who looks at plans and tells you how much it's going to cost to build. He's come back, and we have a budget of around 700,000 to a million. It's a rough budget, so a ballpark figure. We can't be more specific, because actually, even if you've got a really detailed, you know, every screw and every door handle, it doesn't make a difference on paper until you speak to a builder. What matters is how much a builder will build it for. That's it. That's as simple as that. So we're going to have to work on that budget and develop it as time goes on. So that's what we're aiming at. And to fill the air in this balloon, there's four things. I was going to have somebody actually blow this up while I spoke, but these take forever to blow up. I almost fainted blowing one of these up. My daughter said, come on, Daddy, blow it faster. And I was like, I'm going to collapse. So I decided that would detract from the presentation. So we decided not to do that. But there's four sources of the money, okay? Number one, there's a building fund. That story that John said, people in faith and obedience over time have been giving to a building fund. So we have some money in the bank currently, but that is all we have in the bank at the moment. Then we are going to sell the land, as John spoke. And this is a really big and important prayer point. We need to pray, like, from now on until it gets delivered. There's a condition being removed from title deeds. The title deeds say at the moment, the land can only be used for building a church. The title deeds need to be amended and say you can build houses. The council's happy with that, but it's sitting on a lawyer's desk in the council department, and that letter needs to be written and sent, and then we can give it to our buyer who needs to have that letter, and then he can sell the land. But this is crucial. The buyer has been waiting for some time, and we don't want him to go away. We want to sell the land immediately. So you can pray. That's a prayer point for us right away. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to go out and we're going to fundraise. There's charitable funds around the country who are putting aside money to support projects like ours. And we're going to go and find those funds. We're going to apply. We're going to speak to them and see if they would support us. Now, the crucial thing and the important thing that we've got to understand is that we only want to work with funds that don't limit us in our conditions. So we could get money. I mean, example might be lottery or some of that. And they say, well, you can have money from us, but you can only do these things. You know, I don't know the ins and outs, but that's an example. Charitable fund might say, you can have money, but you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it. We don't want that money. We want money that comes that doesn't limit us from what we believe God is doing. So we're going to do that. We have a team, part of the action team. It's been getting to where the documents, we're going to have a new website to help us in our fundraising that can enable us to do that. And the last and most important thing is we need to give ourselves. We've already talked, we had a pledge day a few months back, and people pledged to give one-time gifts and to give ongoing gifts into the future. And we want to ask, as of today, that if that's what you did, you want to honor those pledges and start to give money. If you weren't there at the pledge day, or for some reason there wasn't, you weren't in your context meant you couldn't pledge, maybe it's time to consider that again and to pledge to the project. We want to give with joy, with planning, and with careful consideration of our budgets, but also with faith. And so that's something for all of us to do. As we spoke about Nehemiah, we talked about the fact that in the end, it was this people and their God that got the walls done. They partnered with people, as we're going to do, but we've got to own that project ourselves. So we need to collect the money. Now, if the other person might say to me, well, how long are we going to raise money for? So we've got this money in the bank, and we need a whole bunch more. So how long are we going to raise money for before we go to the building and go to construction? At this time, as an action team, as leadership, we decide that we're going to wait for 6 months. So from now until the end of the year, we're going to raise money. And by the end of the year, whatever money we have in the bank, no matter how big that money balloon is how much we build. That's the point of decision. Now, in those 6 months, it's quite a good sort of time frame, because what we can do in that 6 months is get the building warrant in place. We can begin to kind of find out about builders. We could work on the offices. There's lots of other projects we can do. So it's not like we're just going to sit around for 6 months. But it gives us a time to find out where we are financially, and then we can make a decision at the end of the year about how we move forward and what we can afford to build. Now, £700,000 seems like an awful lot of money. But in this room, a large number of us own houses, either by ourselves or with our spouse or with parents' help or whatever. We own houses. Now, imagine the rest of us rent. Some may have accommodation. If we put together all the houses that we own or rent together in one place, we'd make a small village, as we are, the Liberty Village. You know, it'd be a big place. And what's amazing is when you consider how much the land and how much we have in the bank, all we need left is what it costs for three average homes in Dunfermline. That's how much we need. Three homes between all of us. That's what we need to raise. Three homes. And when you look at it that way, it doesn't quite seem so insurmountable. It's something I think we believe is achievable. It's not foolhardy. Yes, it's going to be a risk. Yes, that we don't know all the answers. But it's something that we've looked at with wisdom and with faith and think that we can achieve this as a community with God's help, with his guidance and his leading. Beyond that, God is a God who's a provider. Bono once sang, "The God I believe in isn't short of cash. This God we believe in isn't short of cash." He is a provider. Throughout history and all those things that John said, he's provided time and time again, and he's led his people. He led his people with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day in the Old Testament. And when Pentecost came, the disciples gathered together, he placed a pillar of fire on their foreheads to indicate that the early church was going to be led by him again. In the same way, he was going to lead his church. And he's with us and he's leading us today. Nehemiah had a vision for walls. To build walls. And I said a number of times, God had a vision for a people. We have a vision for a building, but God has a vision for much more than that, a people that are after his heart. Now, the success of this building project will not be just measured by bricks and mortar. I believe the success of this building project will be measured by this as well. Are we more in love with Jesus? Are we more in love with Jesus? Do we know more of his gospel? Do we have a greater love for his community, for the community around us, for the people around us? That and that will be successful. That, a building, but without the love of Jesus, is worth nothing. It's a growth and a development of a building and a development of the love of Jesus that's crucial for us as a people as we move forward. Now, as you sat here, you might have been overwhelmed by information. Depends on how you process things. And today we've created a booklet that tells a bit of John's story, what he's done, a bit of what I've spoken about explains the process, but also answer, hopefully, a number of other questions. And we want to give you out one of these booklets each. We also want to say that we're overwhelmed when we had the appeal and we asked you to get people to support the building. How many people you spoke to, how many friends and family you spoke to. And if you've got friends and family who you think would be interested in receiving this booklet and finding about our project, then please feel free to take another one and you can give it away to those people. We are really thankful to you and to all your friends and family who supported us. And so do feel free to take one for them. On a practical level, there is a new website list at the back, which is going to be our building website. It is not currently live. I will tell you when it is. The URL is bought, if that's so. Don't worry, it's not going to be taken. It will be ready in the next week or so, and we'll let you know when it's going to happen. The last thing I want to say before I pass on to John is, I chose balloons because it indicated what we want, and they're colorful. But I also chose balloons because balloons are fun. Jesus' ministry in John started in a party. That's where he started, and he even provided the wine. This is going to be hard work, but we also believe there's got to be a process of fun. As I said with the kids, building with Lego is fun. And we want this to be a process that's been full of joy. Yes, it'll be full of challenges and questions and all those things, but we want to be full of joy. And in the action team, I can testify that we always laugh. As we plan this, there's a lot of laughter, but it's serious as well, isn't it? But we want all of that to be part of our journey as we go forward. I hope that's been helpful. And in this whole process, we want to invite questions. The whole part of today is to invite questions to ask to go further and to go deeper, and we want to invite them. The action team is going to be available at the end of the service around this zone to answer any questions, and in the weeks to come, we want to invite you to come and ask your questions. Back to John.
Thank you to Stan and his amazing performing balloons. So much more exciting than a PowerPoint, Microsoft head, Mac head. I believe we're ready for this next chapter that Stan's outlined. This process, we are ready. We are positioned well as a church. And I spent a lot of time recently reflecting on our way forward as a church. Where's God taking us? And if you're going to plan where God is taking you on any journey, you've got to know where you are now. You've got to have a starting point. You've got to know where your starting point is. Where are we today? And as I look at Liberty today, we have great things to celebrate. We have great ministries that are already changing lives. Ministries that are walking people with people through times of great struggle and hardship, seeing them set free from debt, the past, from fear, from guilt, from shame. We have ministries that are feeding people and caring for people and allowing people to encounter God for themselves. We have great ministries. We've got great people who are gifted and servant-hearted. We have a great environment. I believe the Liberty Church environment is an environment of humility. We don't always get it right. We confess to the things that we get wrong. There's a humility. It's welcoming. It's accepting. It is fun. And I believe that environment is drawing new people around us. We have a great sense of family. We have firm foundations, and we are ready for the next chapter of this story. Now, the next chapter is all about building, as Stan said. It's about us building our home together, and it's about God building us together. And the end of this chapter, we will have a new home. Now, when we saw the advert, it ends with a shiny car. I don't know what your views on cars are, but particularly amongst men, I think cars are, well, maybe something that comes close to an object of worship sometimes, and something that we maybe polish and keep pristine. Don't get your hands on that. I've just polished it. Something maybe to impress those around us with, and something times that people actually, we get our identity and our value from what we drive. Our home will not be like that, but it will be a vehicle that moves people. I think it's going to be a people mover. A view of a people mover is very different, and it will be built for purpose, not to impress, but with a job to do. It will be full of life, it will be sometimes messy, but it will be a vehicle to move us forward in faith, in devotion, and experience of God. It will be a vehicle that moves others forward into freedom, to know and love God. It will be a vehicle that moves many from darkness into light. This next chapter is about building, but the end of this next chapter is not the end of the story. And the danger is sometimes when you do the thing, when you put all your energies into a building, you get to it and you're thinking, that's it, we've arrived, we've got our building. But it just opens up an even greater chapter for us, that God is stirring his people here. You're listening to people and speaking to people in our fellowship, where we have dreams and vision and passion growing in us right now. People with a heart to help people find employment, to teach people how to live well, to set people free from the cycle of poverty and helplessness, to see addictions broken, to help people build good relationships, to strengthen families, to bring hope to the broken, to see healing and restoration and salvation, and to see God's power at work in our city, changing lives. God is doing something amongst us right now. It doesn't start once we have our new home. It's already started. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, when Jesus stands up on the Sabbath in the synagogue and he says these words, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is God's heart for people. It is a heart that has good news, a heart of freedom, of healing, of release, and of favor. It's why Jesus came, and it's the same heart that he has placed within us, his people, his church. And Liberty Center will be the vehicle to see much come to fruition. God has commissioned us, his church. We talked about commissioning last week, of all of us, to be carriers of his favor. We are all commissioned to bring and to be good news. So what does this mean for us all right now? How do we respond in this next chapter of our story? A number of ways. Firstly, Stan talked about giving. And that's a crucial part. I don't want to reiterate what Stan has already said. He's all talked about giving wisdom and faith and generosity and planning our giving. What I would say is don't compare your giving to anybody else. It's not about equal gifts. It's about equal sacrifice. Do not compare. There are pledge forms. If you want to look at that, there are pledge forms over on the side there afterwards. If you want to ask any questions, we'll be glad to talk to you about it. Let me say one more thing about giving. Do not take from your tithe and transfer it to the building. If you're tithing, we believe in tithing as a church. We believe in giving as a church from what God has given to us, to the church, to do the things that we need to do. We teach the importance of tithing. It really doesn't help us if you think, okay, well, I want to give to the building, so I'll just take from my tithe and give to the building. That doesn't do it. It just transfers money from one thing to the other. And we believe fundamentally our first place in giving should be our tithe and then offerings, of which the building is part of it, on top of that. So we would recommend, if you think you're giving to the building and you're not tithing, then come and speak to us about tithing, because we'd love to talk to you about that, because actually we believe that is the first priority for us as believers in the church. Let me move on from giving. We need to pray. Stan's already talked about praying. Prayer is a foundation, comes before building, service, action, and giving. We have lots to pray for. We've talked about things this morning. And the brochure, the leaflet you take away, the booklet talks about the things that we can be involved with the prayer that will change our hearts and change this city. The third thing is communicate. Ask questions. Ask questions. If there's things you don't know, then please come ask questions of the action team this morning. Ask questions of us anytime. Drop us an email. Give feedback and comments along the way. You see a plan, you see something thinking, oh, I don't understand that, or maybe this would work, or maybe we could do that. Then come and speak. Tell us about what's going on. Let us know your experience. I know we've had people here who've been involved in building projects in other churches and other settings. Maybe that's been a good situation, and maybe it's just something that gives you a nervous twitch when you hear about building projects. We want to hear your experience. If we can learn from that, then that's great, because maybe we don't have to reinvent the wheel or go down a direction which may be harmful for us. So tell us and let others know what is going on. Speak to people. Keep talking and keep listening. So give, pray, communicate, get stuck in. Get stuck in. I was going to say serve, but get stuck in is much more about it. Those who get stuck in get stuck together. I thought that was a pretty good saying. I made that one up myself. Those who get stuck in get stuck together. There's something about building team as we get stuck in together. Look for ways to get involved. Build team together. We are all wall builders together, from the youngest to the oldest. And the last thing I want to say is keep Christ at the center of everything we do. We talked about the gospel a couple of weeks ago. This is so important. It must be at the center of everything we do as a church. We will face all sorts of distractions. The building could be a distraction. Ministries could be a distraction to us. We need to keep coming back to Christ, because ultimately the building is not our vision. Christ is always our vision. We do all this because we have good news. Christ died to set us free from our past, from mistakes, from our hurt. And Christ came that we may have life both now and forever. Christ is and must always be at the center of our story. If you don't know that story, we'd love to share it with you this morning. Come and speak to us. We'd love to share the story of what God has done through us through Christ. This story is being written one chapter at a time for us. We've had some great chapters. The next one is going to be exciting, challenging, stretching, fulfilling, and a lot of fun. But the story goes on and gets better. And through our story together, God is rewriting the story of so many others. God is at this very moment reaching into lives, touching people's lives, changing the plot of people's lives, changing the direction and changing the ending of the story in people's lives. And we get to be a part of that. So let me encourage you to keep turning the pages of this story. The best is yet to come. We need to remember that the way we walk this journey together will be as important as the destination. We want to be more in love with Jesus, as Stan says, more committed to him and sharing his love with others at the end of this journey than we are now. Amen.